All right, here we go. This is the tough one right after lunch. It's the challenge, all right, to stay with it here. This will be condensed. This will be a shorter session. We get to your activities, get you out and moving, and get on our way. But one topic for this afternoon, we're carrying along with our overriding theme. This is the theme. This is the verse that we're talking about. Ultimately, I know we haven't really gone through it or looked at it a whole lot, but talking about whatever is true and honorable, right and pure and lovely, good repute and excellent. These are the things we're to think about. But we had to first lay a groundwork of talking about the problem, right? That these things, the reason why Paul would write this and instruct Christians to think about these things, because it's not natural, it's not our inclination, that's not what we normally do. And indeed, the difficulty, the challenge before us, as we discussed this morning, is the whole idea of truth and honor and right is out the window, out there. And so we have to get back to the basics. We have to understand. It's imperative that we understand what is truth, if we're going to have any hope of thinking about what's true. And so we want to ask the question this afternoon, what's on your mind anyhow? Last night we discussed the problem with our mind, how the enemy attacks our mind this morning. And now we want to just consider the question briefly, but carefully and seriously. What is on your mind? What do you think about? Three things for this afternoon session. One, God knows your thoughts. Your thoughts matter, number two. And thirdly, again, our question, what are your thoughts? Simple questions. But truth is simple, isn't it? Not simplistic, but simple. There's a difference there. So let's begin with that Sunday school truth, if I can put it that way. The fact that God knows what we think about. And that seems so obvious. And if you've been raised in Sunday school or in a Christian, you've heard that. It's just intuitive. It seems you recognize that. You take it for granted. Yeah, of course God knows my thoughts. Of course. But I wonder if we could ask for volunteers to have you come up to the front, wire you up somehow, and have your thoughts projected onto the screen, how many volunteers we would have. Who'd be keen to do that? Right. You're either brave or I won't say it. As we know what our thoughts are, and God knows, but we don't want each other to know. And so if we had that opportunity, if we had the capability to do that, to project our thoughts onto the screen for everyone here to see. The thoughts you've had in the last month, the last week, the last day since you got up this morning. If we could project them, we could show them, right? The real you. Would it be fair to say we may be placing some friendships in jeopardy? We'd be exposed, wouldn't we? The charade would be over. As the real me, the real you, would be there for all to see. I think I'd be embarrassing. I can tell you, I would not be volunteering. I don't like to be embarrassed. And if that embarrasses us, if that makes us uncomfortable, the thought of doing that, knowing that it's not possible, but if it were, knowing that, no, there's no way I would want anyone to know. I would not want my thoughts up there on the screen for everyone to see. Those who know me, Have we forgotten that Christ sees? Some obvious truth, isn't it? The scripture is so clear, so plain. The Lord knows the thoughts of man. Lord, you have searched me and known me, David would write. You know when I sit down, when I rise up, you understand my thoughts from afar. Right? We read these verses and they sound so majestic and so poetic. And they are. But there's a very convicting truth to it all, isn't there? God knows what I think. Now, it's part of who we define God is. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. Right? We can throw that word. Yeah, God knows everything. I tell my kids that. God knows everything. And I was like, God knows. God knows everything. It's far easier to think of a God who knows everything than a God who knows my thoughts specifically. That's a little too close to home. Or at least it should be. That should convict us. If the thought of my friends seeing what I think about, my peers knowing what I'm thinking about, how much more should it bother me that God sees everything, nothing hidden. Everything I've ever done, everything I've ever thought, everything I think right now, everything I ever will think. No secrets with God. Nothing hidden. It's all laid bare. We're exposed before Him. There's no playing games. There's no charade. There's no masquerading. God knows. God sees. Why doesn't that bother us so much? Why is that? We try hard to impress one another and to prevent one another from knowing what we really think. We go to great lengths, and yet, how often do we think about the fact that God sees? He knows. We can fool each other, but we can't fool God. You think of the Lord Jesus as He walked this earth, how often it was remarked of Him in the Gospels. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, and then He would respond to something that they were talking about or doing. Catch him off guard, right? Because he knew their thoughts. So what's on your mind? What does he see in you and me? And do you even care? I know some here, perhaps. You can accept that truth. You can agree with the truth. Yes, I believe God sees, but don't really care. That's your prerogative. I plead with you to change that. God is holy. God is pure. See, we know that. We've heard those words. We have an understanding to some degree, but does it really have an impact on me and on you? Listen to what the Lord Jesus said. And I know you've heard this before, but I'm going to read it again and hear it again as though it were for the first time. Christ talking to the Pharisees, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you, that everyone who looks at a woman and lusts for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." That's powerful. That ought to stagger us as we're confronted with our own thoughts. God sees. God knows. Hear what Christ is saying. What you think about is as important as what you do. This was a radical teaching because the Pharisees were very concerned about outward appearances. They were very religious, prayed and fasted and tithed and all the things that the law prescribed. They tried hard to fulfill. And then they added a whole bunch of other rules and laws and traditions. Very concerned about the outward appearance. Christ cuts right to the heart of it here. This is not about that only. You can be going through all the motions, outwardly looking right, doing right, but inwardly, where are you at before God? Because there are no secrets with Him. God knows. God sees. For the Pharisees, spirituality meant letting others know just how godly they were. Christ sees differently. His accounting is different. Here, the Lord Jesus sets out for us God's perspective as He assesses our spirituality. He cuts right to it. Your thoughts matter. Your thoughts matter. We judge actions, don't we? Because that's all we see. And I can't judge your thoughts. I don't know them. I'm not God. God knows your thoughts, and He judges them. We think that as long as I only think something and not follow through with it, I'm okay. God says differently. Now I know that you can be tempted with a wrong thought. I'm not saying that at that point you've done anything wrong, because we know Christ was tempted. I'm talking about the mulling over, the thinking it over, the reveling in it, the enjoyment of it. And I recognize that it's true that there's a difference in terms of consequences. I can think something and it will be different than following through with it in terms of natural consequences, the way things are going to turn out in my life. As for example, as Christ mentioned here, the example of adultery, obviously the one who merely thinks it is going to be different than the one who carries it out physically, obviously. But in God's estimation, both are sin. Both are sin. Different consequences, but the same root problem. That's how God sees it. And that's how we have to see it as well, if we're going to think God's thoughts about it. Because God is holy. And He calls us to be holy as well. And that includes the way we think. And that's difficult. That's impossible. My thoughts matter. Your thoughts matter. And it's vital that we have that truth grip us if we're going to be changed. My thoughts matter, first of all, because they matter to God. That's the first reason. My thoughts matter because they matter to God. Stop and think for a moment. Be completely honest with yourself before your Maker. Do you really care about what God cares about? Really? What's the evidence of that? There should be evidence. We've been tainted with the world's attitude towards wickedness. We tolerate it. We toy with it. We enjoy it. We're comfortable with it, really. The whole notion of sin and what's bad, it's become a joke. It's mocked. The whole notion of holiness is laughed at. It's scoffed. And don't think that hasn't influenced the way we think in the church as well, because it'll find its way in. It'll seep in and wreak havoc. We need a fresh dose of holiness. Look again at the Scripture. See, we tend to fear that word or flee from it, because we don't want to be deemed as legalistic. Christianity is not about rules and regulations. Yeah, I know that. When God is holy, He calls us to be holy. How holy is God? How much does He hate sin? I draw your attention again back about 2,000 years ago to a little spot outside of Jerusalem where one was crucified He was despised and rejected of men. But more staggering than that, as Christ was suspended upon that cross, he yells out, my God, why have you forsaken me? As Christ bore the sin load, mine and yours, his Father turns his back on him. A holy God. That's astounding. That's the holiness of God. That's the purity of God. It cost that much. And we treat it so lightly. We laugh at it along with the world. Shame on us. We need a right perspective to think the way God thinks about this. God is holy. My thoughts matter because they matter to God. Secondly, my thoughts matter because they shape character. My thoughts shape character. There's a proverb. Proverbs 23, verse 7. As he thinks, so is he. As a man thinks, so is he. Or you are what you think. You've perhaps heard that. Your thoughts shape your character. Thoughts have a practical effect. We've already sort of alluded to that in the first sessions, that our actions don't come about independently. They're not isolated events. Before I do something, I've thought about it. Now, I recognize that there are times we've done something and think, well, hey, or said something. Oh, no, boy, I said that without thinking. But is that really true? Now, it's probably the case that you didn't think enough about it, or we didn't think long and hard about it. But there was a thought. A thought always precedes the action. Always. They're not isolated, not independent. There are thoughts first. Thoughts have a practical effect. Even the secular world recognizes that. We hear all around about the power of positive thinking. Why does that have such an impact? Because even out there, they recognize that the mind is powerful. Thoughts are powerful. And life-changing. Those in the medical professions will often confirm that a patient's outlook will have a dramatic impact on their health. Those diagnosed with terrible diseases will give testimony how, you know, the positive outlook and attitude is helped them. Physically, has physical results in their life. Physical benefits. Thoughts matter. Thoughts have effect. More and more professional athletes consulting sports psychologists. Why? Because what they think about matters. How they project, how they understand themselves, and what they think about themselves has a practical effect on their game. Psychology of advertising. For years, advertisers understand that the mind is powerful. And if they can make us think that we need something, we'll go out and buy it. Right? That's very simple. But they've duped us, right, all the time. You're sitting at home, you know, watching something, 11 o'clock at night, commercial for McDonald's or whatever comes on, all of a sudden you're hungry. You need that burger, right? You run out or you think about it. Boy, I'm hungry, man. You're not hungry. You didn't need it. But all of a sudden, it's playing on your mind. It has an effect. It has an impact. Advertisers know it. And they use it to their advantage. To manipulate. Thoughts have consequences. Your thoughts matter because they matter to God. Your thoughts matter because they shape character. God knows your thoughts. So what are your thoughts? What do you think about? That's the critical question, isn't it? What do you think about? What occupies your mind? Is it a worldly mindset, one that's taken in what everyone else thinks? That you're okay, I'm okay, good for you, good for me, no real truth, that mentality, is that what you think about? Is it a me first attitude? What's the first thing on your mind when you wake up in the morning? What is it? First thing. What's the last thing before you fall asleep at night? What is it? What do you think about? And all in between throughout the day, what are your thoughts? If you're like most people, most of your thoughts revolve around you. It's a me first. Most of them. If you could categorize them, if you could write them all down, your thoughts, at the end of the day, look over them. Most of your thoughts center around yourself. Perhaps you've never stopped to consider that. I'm asking you to do that now, this weekend, to think about that. Your mind matters to God. Take inventory. You have jealous thoughts. Jealous thoughts. Dwelling on how we wished we could be like someone else, or wanting what they have. Do those thoughts occupy us? Do we have bitter thoughts? Harboring anger against someone because of something they said to you or about you. Does that make you bitter? Does that make you angry? Are you harboring those types of thoughts? Are you resentful for your lot in life? Discontent because you feel you've gotten a raw deal, not happy with your station in life, where you're at, where you're placed. You have selfish thoughts. Life is all about you. A little time to think about others and their needs. Your day is consumed with accomplishing what you want to accomplish. Selfish thoughts. What about lustful thoughts? Perhaps a bigger issue for the fellas here, but not only so, but I think a bigger issue. Need to be mindful of that, guys. Let's not pretend. Let's face up to it, own up to it, confess it for what it is, sin against God. We have proud thoughts. Look at others. Prefer not to be with them, perhaps, because they don't measure up to your standard. Proud thoughts. What about insecure thoughts? That strikes a chord. Insecurity. We don't want to admit it, perhaps, but in our heart of hearts, we feel we don't measure up. And it hurts. And everyone else has it together. More athletic, more attractive, more intelligent, more popular. And you're left on the outside looking in. Is your life filled with those types of thoughts? What anxious thoughts? You feel like you're just treading water. Just keeping your head up above. Feeling the weight of the world pressing you down. Anxious, the stress and worries of life. Overwhelming. And you feel like you're being crushed. And no one else knows. So many questions about life. Looking for real, genuine answers. Feeling as though there are none. God knows those thoughts as well. He sees those too. God knows your thoughts. They matter to God. He knows and He cares. I'm asking many questions here this morning. There are answers. God knows your thoughts. Your thoughts matter. First, because they matter to God. Secondly, because they shape your character. And so let's ask ourselves the hard questions. What are my thoughts? What do I think about? Because God already knows. And He wants you to think seriously about that. That's the first step. Think about these things. I challenge you with that this morning. Challenge that again this afternoon to think about these things as God would have us do for His glory, for His purpose, and for your good ultimately. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for another time together. Lord, we pray that You would take some of these thoughts and plant this seed and cause it to grow. pray for safety this afternoon, bring us back together again this evening. And we're just thankful for this time, thankful for this weekend, for those involved in organizing and planning. And you would strengthen friendships here, building bonds of fellowship. Most of all, Father, draw us closer to yourself. We ask in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.